Today, we hear about Dynamic AI 56 in our podcast, Pocket Guide AI. And I'm your host, Ansgar Bittermann, CEO of Goldblum Consulting. And Dynamic AI 56 offers a true AI solution to automate business communication in all relevant customer-facing areas like customer care, sales, and finance. And they are in business for 3 years now in the US, India, and the DACH region. And with their solution, they could win customers like Volkswagen or Citibank or even Southwest Airlines. And we also will hear how they won also Google and AWS as their customers. And our guest today is Florian Erlach, president and COO of Dynamic AI 56. Florian has spent 7 years in AI and automation, as well as 5 years in banking and investment banking. And he's also the executive chairman of the White Pony, an investment holding for disruptive technologies. Although he was born in Austria, he chooses to live with his family in our vibrant Berlin. So welcome, Florian.
It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, thanks for having you today. And but before we start, I would like to welcome our panelists for today. And it would be lovely if you could give a quick introduction for our listeners.
Hi, I'm Satya. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm an enterprise architect at Spin Master Limited.
Hi, I'm Johannes from Siemens AG in Erlangen in Germany, a product manager for machine learning operations.
Hi, I'm Ihab Tabara. I am retail consultant at Spectrum and I'm based in Saudi Arabia. Great pleasure to be here.
Hi, I am Renoir Adra from Lebanon. I'm a management consultant working in the region. I am very happy and excited to be with you.
Hi, I'm Markus from Germany, and I'm an IT consultant.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sao Kobayashi. I'm from Tokyo, Japan. I'm project manager, currently focused on most efficient startup of AI project of Japan. Thank you.
Good. So thank you very much, panelists. And now the floor is all yours, Florian.
Okay, excellent. I hope everybody can see the presentation, which we hold pre-pandemic at the AWS summit in Anaheim. This was in 2019. We showed the first time our AI for automated business communication from research to production, how it was working on AWS, and how we started it, starting with deep learning. I think everybody knows deep learning from DeepMind from 2010. And most people use it, and that we went further to genetic coding. And I think most important for today, before we go too much into any details, is that you remember the following things: why we do what we do, that you understand the market, where we started, and where all the other guys like LivePerson, UiPath, Automation Anywhere are standing compared to us. And where is the technical difference? Yeah, and I emphasize now similarity search, yeah, and semantic similarity. This is super, super important. And I will repeat this a couple of times. And forget all these technical things in the presentation. Really focus on this semantic search and similarity search, yeah? Because this is super important. And also at the end of the presentation, I want to show you a short demonstration from RFP, which we won back at the time with Southwest, and that you get an idea how things are working. So let's get started. Why we do what we do? I think if you read Gartner or if you read Forbes, these guys are telling you that 80 to 85% of business communication is repetitive. No matter if it's customer care, HR, finance, ops, supply chain, and no matter if these guys are working via email, chat, messaging, or even voice, yeah, it's always repetitive if the guys tell you, I have an issue with my iPhone. I want to buy an iPhone. I want to give back my iPhone. I want to open my account. I want to close my account. Where's my package? All these things. It's always repetitive. It's always a process. Yeah? And exactly there is where we jump in and where we automate, because we can automate this 80%, because we really understand the whole text. That means via semantic search, we understand this, and also what's the intention. And if you look at the market, we have tremendous growth in the email sent. It was estimated before the pandemic 320 billion emails sent a day. I think this is much higher due to the pandemic in 2020. And also what's business and consumer. If you look at the data, it's always 5 to 7%. I think we had last year a growth of 20 to 40%. Yeah? And you also can see that more and more people are using electronic devices, especially mobile devices. I think a lot of us are using WhatsApp more and more often to talk to people, or use Teams for conferences and talks. Yeah, the same applies to big enterprises who have to deal with the issues or challenges or the requests of the customers. Especially there is where we jump in. So when we started the first time to deal with AI and to deal with all these messages and labeling and classification, we started as all the others. That means we started with deep learning, we started with email, we started with languages like English and German. Yeah, and we used models like ANN, LSTM, CNN. There are many out of them, and they are all pretty good for one approach only, yeah? To lose one single problem. Yeah? But if you consider that sometimes the issues are more complex in a conversation, then you really understand that you can't only just use one of these approaches. Yeah? And when we started, we were very simple. We have this positive, negative categories for sales, forwarding to somebody else, call me later, spam, don't call me again, on all these things. Yeah? And the thing is with deep learning is you at least need 1,000 messages per category, yeah, to start training with, which is super hard. Yeah, you mostly don't have this. Yeah, and also if you have a new case for a big enterprise, you can't just wait and produce manually more data, yeah, to have in real time a solution. Yeah, so you have a really big issue for big companies, and especially for the pandemic, to have in real time a solution. Yeah, and just to give you a really quick overview, what the first output was out of 2015 was that businesses required high precision. You know, you really need 95% probability. That means like a human being, and that was not given with the current approaches of all these providers. Yeah, so bots are not very precise. Yeah, and you also have a data security issue, because when you always train and update the models over time, you always need people who look into the data. Yeah, and this data is mostly sensitive, especially for banks, health insurance companies, or insurance companies. Yeah, and if you start categorizing and do this all manually, yeah, you really lose all these things. Yeah, like time and money. Yeah. And you also figure out that every customer and every language in every of these channels, no matter if it's voice, email, or Facebook, yeah, it's completely different. Yeah, and this was the case where we really started thinking, okay, we can't solve the issue just with this old approach with only deep learning. Yeah, and my partner Roman, who is a PhD from the National University of Kiev, and also some other guys like Slu, who is a professor at the National University of Kiev for Computer Science, he came up with the idea for semantic similarity. It's very well suited for linguistics. That means all our messages, what we're using. And it can work with the NLP tools we were currently using. Yeah? That means the natural language processing. Yeah. because we have quite good natural language processing tools in place from Stanford, from Spacey, and many others. Yeah, we're which are really good. Yeah, and these results really need a lot of corpora. Yeah? You need a lot of text. Yeah, to use it accordingly. Yeah, so this was the reason why we said, okay, we don't use deep learning. We use semantic similarity via a new approach, yeah, which is, I will tell later on, a multidimensional approach, yeah. But very important is to understand semantic, and semantic is nothing else than the technical explanation for context understanding. Yeah, I think this is super important for people who are not very handy with NLP or machine learning per se. So. What is this whole outcome of linguistics NLP? Yeah? And I want to keep this very simple. As I told you before, the current technology for NLP only gives you 82 to 86% of precision, which is not enough for business to make your customers happy, and also not your customer care agents in the end, yeah, because they have to clean up afterwards. Yeah. And if you look for a simple topic like we can meet at the hotel, we can meet at my hotel, we can meet near hotel, yeah, you see that there's always hotel, but hotel is always being used in a different context, yeah, and you can use this also. You also can use this then for an iPhone, yeah. I want to buy an iPhone. I want to give back an iPhone. Where is my iPhone? Yeah, all these things use the name of iPhone, but have completely different meanings. Yeah, so a bot can't get it right, so it can't answer it correctly, and it can't forward it correctly. Yeah, this is very important to understand where we differentiate ourselves, because we're really going for context understanding. Yeah, and we really focus on similarity and precision. Yeah, and we bring this together. As we use these NLP libraries, what most of the others are also using, yeah, and we use more or less AutoML by evolutionary algorithm. Yeah, and this sounds now very complex, but it doesn't mean anything else that we say we expand, optimize all the current deep learning or machine learning approaches, yeah, because there are 100, yeah, and each of them is excellent, yeah, but all together they are perfect, yeah, this 95%. That means our genetic coding approach from the evolutionary algorithm, which was developed in the 1950s, 10 years before the concept for deep learning in the 60s was developed in mathematics, yeah, is nothing else than optimizing this 100 machine learning approaches, yeah, and really get the best out of the text, yeah, so that you have a really fast understanding of texts, and also of the context, yeah, that you really know what's going on, yeah, and also this evolutionary algorithms brings another nice benefit, and this benefit is that our system is able to learn in real time, yeah. That means if something new comes in, and every day something new comes in, the system is learning immediately, yeah, what it is. And this goes most probably then to an agent, and the agent can put in the right answer. And after this 1, 2, 3 times, the system has it, yeah, because it doesn't need a lot of data, and it learns in real time. You don't need a manual update by NLP, guys. Yeah, this is really, really super important. Yeah, and as the system is learning by itself, you don't need people who are looking into the data. So you also have data security held up, yeah, and the requirements met in this area. Yeah, and the system is really learning in real time, and is also evolving as the business is evolving. And we can see this during or after the pandemic now, yeah, that things change rapidly, yeah, and evolve, yeah, and therefore, our tool is really made for very agile big companies, yeah, as these people have to move into this new direction, which was given by the pandemic. Yeah? And we don't change anything on your IT infrastructure. If you're using Salesforce, SAP, or emails like Outlook or Yahoo, whatever, it does not matter. As long as language, as long as we have access to all these platforms, we can put our system there. And this is just 4 to 6 weeks that the system is trained, it's running properly, yeah? And if you can understand what your customers, your employees, and also your suppliers are telling you, yeah? You also can automate in the backend your current UiPath, Blue Prism, Automation Anywhere, RPA solutions, yeah? Because we don't want you to change your current IT infrastructure because we know how painful it would be, yeah? And how uncomfortable it would be, yeah? So in the end, we really don't compete with chatbots. We really don't compete with RPAs. We really compete with repetitive human work, yeah? And now I want to show you how it works in real life. And before I do that, I want to show you something out of a demonstration which is really important to understand it. Yeah? This is from a demonstration this year from an Indian bank, where we normally start with our car rental approach and then start with completely something new, yeah? Like opening up an account, whatever. Yeah? What I want to show you is when the system was answering this, it was really looking into the database it has. And this was 233 messages. And it really was looking into the whole context. Yeah? And when it was doing this, it was really calculating probabilities. You can see this here with accident number 7. I had an accident. Police will arrive soon. What should I do with the car? Accuracy 70%. Yeah. Accident 6. I had a severe accident on the road. My car collided with a truck. I need assistance to get my car to the service station. Accuracy 24%. Accident 25. My car went into an accident due to a deep rut in a road. Where should I report that accident? 24.6%. Yeah? Most important here is to understand that we really have an engine, yeah? And this engine can work on any kind of language, yeah? And it really is calculating, yeah? And it really tries to get the best answer, yeah? And the more data it gets, the better are the results, and that we are getting close to this 95%. So that's the reason why I show you this, because the video per se is very long. But I show you another video from an RFP from Southwest Airlines, which we won in 2019. It's very short, but it shows you how people received our tools.
Today, we show you the short demonstration about our tool. We will show you the dashboard, we show you Twitter, we show you Facebook. So if this is fine for you, I would hand over to Sloop to start with.
So, here you can see main pages of dashboard, which has some statistics and monitoring. So we have ability to change statistics, channel, and actions, and we have few graphs here. So, for example, the statistics of messages which were processed by AI. For example, what is your discount schedule for this year?
Are the conversation rules built, is machine learning based off of all those sample conversations that were kind of bundled within each category? Are there additional like words that the technology would be looking for to send the appropriate response?
I did have one quick question. Are you able to alter the time it takes for the bot to respond? I know in the example it's pretty much instant, but can you change that to say I want to wait 20, 30 seconds or maybe a minute before the bot actually replies?
Yes, it's possible. Wait for seconds in demo.
Other questions?
I think we're good. Thank you all very much for your time today. I appreciate it. It looks like you all have definitely bettered your platform since last time I saw it. So
looking really good. And I know Grace will reach out next week with next steps, and we'll kind of go from there.
So that was my short presentation here. It was a lot of input. I hope there are a lot of questions from the panel, maybe also from the audience, and I would hand over now to the panel.
Thank you very much, Florian, for your lovely presentation, and thank you very much for showing us, you know, how you use genetic coding to really bring up the accuracy there. And it's a very nice and nice approach you're showing there. And I think by looking at your customers, you know, you create a lot of business value. And for me personally, because we're always dealing with, you know, AI readiness, I liked your statement, you know, when you said that, you know, if you understand your business communication, you can also improve your backend tools and backend processes. And I really like that. So I'm very happy to see your company thriving over the next years and more companies adapting to that. So, but now I want to give the questions to the panels.
Hi, Florian. It's a great presentation. I just wanted to ask, what are some of the challenges maybe that you were not able to solve? Or what are some of the challenges that you've seen that actually, you know, you need to rethink the architecture of the model?
Honestly, I didn't thought that it was such a big issue to get the product into the market. I had the biggest fear that we never complete the product. Yeah, this was my biggest fear. But then I didn't thought that people didn't trust us that we really delivered that. Yeah, what we promised. Yeah, because that what we showed you, most people think it's impossible to deliver that if you know a bot. Yeah. Or if you know an RPA, because they are static. And that's also the reason why we called the company Dynamic AI 56. Yeah? Because we're really dynamic in the way as we adapt to the whole company. Yeah? So the biggest issue what we had when we engaged with customers like Southwest and Mars, that they didn't believe us. So we had to make a couple of presentations, a couple of live demos. Yeah. With our data, their data, showed it how it was automating in the backend, yeah, how it was working with their tools, yeah. And it always takes us a lot of time because every company is different. Southwest is different than Mars Corporation, and Mars is different like Volkswagen, yeah. And they don't trust us and don't believe us, and it always takes us a lot of time, and we have to invest a lot of effort to convince these people that we are not cheating, yeah? Because a lot of startups in the whole AI craze since 2016, they promise a lot, they promise AI, but it is not like. So it was never really a technical issue for us. It was really a trust issue.
Yeah, the reason I asked the question is, I'm not sure, like for example, let's take UK. It's a very small country, but if you look at the actual accent is particularly different, and the way they use the words is completely different. So, for example, Yorkshire, they speak in a different way to London, right? So there's a huge difference, and I wanted to understand if that is even a challenge, or you know, it's not. So, you know,
Satya, we even can put it further. Look, for example, India. I assume you have roots to India one way or another.
Yeah.
In India, you have English, but you also have Hindi, you have Punjabi, and many other languages because it's a great country, 1.4 billion people. And these people, you also use it in their business communication. Yeah. So they write something in English and then they switch to Hindi, for example. Yeah? So our tool is going into this data, which we get provided, and also the policies from these big enterprise companies. And based on that, it analyzes and also understands also these accents or the switches between English and Hindi, yeah, or Punjabi English, yeah. So the system, when it comes to a customer, we put there the language as the customer wants, yeah. If the customer wants English, yeah, and Hindi, we put these libraries which are publicly available, we put it to the system. But we also can put Chinese there, German, Russian, whatever you need. Yeah? We connect it to the system. And the system goes then to this customer and goes to the data. And in the data, you see how people are talking, in which accent, in which languages, yeah? in which style, because Facebook is different like an email how you write. Yeah? So the system is then learning when it's connected. In this first 4 to 6 weeks, yeah, the system is really learning and becoming the AI of this company, yeah? Because it really understands how you're working, yeah? Because it is smart, yeah? And this is the process of this 4 to 6 week where it's really becoming your AI, yeah? Not my AI, not the AI of AWS or any other provider, it's your AI, which is trained on your data, on your policies, yeah? And our main focus is really on the US, on the DACH region and India. And India, because if you know, when you're dealing with the Fortune 500 companies in the US, you figure out that 50 to 60% of the ML and AI guys are from India.
Okay, so we have one more, time for one more question.
I have the question, when you say, well, for the first 4 to 6 weeks, it is becoming, the system is learning and becoming, it's becoming your system. The question is, well, you have to, I mean, if you just feed the raw data without any bias or with any contextual information, how is the system actually learning? It's because for a system which is blank, basically, the raw data doesn't have any meaning, even from the start. What's the initial seed that you have to set so the system can really learn from that point of view? And how long will it take that? I mean, how long will it take to, if it's done this way, that you plant in a little seed so from the basic start that you can start learning with the system?
So I give you a good I give you a good example from a proof of concept which we showed last week Friday for Jim Jane in the US. The guys gave us 2,000 data points, yeah? Unstructured data, yeah, nothing structured, yeah, a complete mess, yeah. We not even had the answers to the questions from the customers, yeah. So we took I think 150 messages. Put it into three categories, wrote one answer per category, and let the system train, yeah, to get into it, because you not even had the answer. So you also could go to approach such a proof of concept or such a implementation topic that you use the unstructured data, yeah, to say, okay, I have all the questions and I have all the answers for my call center, yeah? Because normally you have this in a well-working company, yeah? And hopefully nobody is manipulating the system, yeah? Because if somebody wants to hurt your company, the system also sees this, yeah? So what we do in this 4 to 6 weeks is we start from unstructured data or we start from structured data. Structured data is much more beautiful, much easier, much simpler. The system goes over it and we just improve it. If you have unstructured data, we have to really build up at least three categories to start with that the system understands. So from there, it can learn by itself. Yeah? So we always need a certain minimum basis to start with. So as I explained, 150 data points, 150 messages, we structure, put into three categories, and from there we move further. Yeah, but yes, it is true. It's much more comfortable to start with structured data, also for our system. But even with unstructured data, we can bring a minimum structure of three categories in, with 150 messages, and go from there. Because then the system understands what the intents, the feelings are, don't forget, if you want to reply a message, you also have to understand not only the intent, but also the sentiment, because there is something called like sarcasm from humans, that they don't mean what they say, you know? Smiley, smiley, yeah? We also had to do this for Southwest, and the system is also understanding sentiments. Yeah?
Thank you very much, Florian. I don't want to play the teacher here, but you know, we try to keep a little bit in our time frame. But it was very, very interesting. Thank you very much to our panelists, and thank you very much, Florian, for coming today. And we are looking forward to see your product thrive in the future.
Happy to be here, and happy for your time, and hope to see you maybe in a year again. Who knows?
Thank you very much. Have a lovely time. Bye bye.
You too. All the best.
Bye bye.